So Hare Krishna, we are reading this evening from the 10th canto of the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text number 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Istarenatmano yogam vibhutim sajanadana bhuyakataya triptirhi shrinvato nasti memritam.
Thank you. Vistarinatmano yogam vibhutim chajanadana bhuya kataya trittirhi shrinvato nasti memritam. Translation. O Janadana, again please describe in detail the mystic power of your opulences. I'm never satiated in hearing about you, for the more I hear, the more I want to taste the nectar of your words. This insatiable desire to hear about Krishna has very much to do with the nature of Krishna. Once there was a great devotee, Narada Muni, who asked the Lord for a blessing. He said, "My Lord, please arrange that anyone who hears about you never gets enough. He's never satisfied with that." And Krishna, he said, "Why are you asking me for this blessing? This is already known that this is the case. There's no need for this blessing. It is already an effect. Ask for a second blessing." So then Narada Muni asked for something else. Description about Krishna is such that you will never tire of really hearing about the Lord's activities, because Krishna is just so wonderful that your mind gets newer taste as you hear about him from authorized sources. A reason for this is that Krishna is just totally beyond this world. Imagine, for instance, one of his pastimes of killing the Kaliya snake. Not really killing, but chastising it. Once, it is described, the Yamuna River was inhabited, a snake came there who was a very powerful and influential demon. Formerly, the snake used to live at an island as the king of snakes. In this island, which is where now the Fiji Islands are, there are many snakes, and Garuda, the carrier of Vishnu, came every once and so often to this island to hunt one particular snake. So in the process of hunting, he would not only kill one snake, but many, many snakes at one time. This got so out of hand that the snakes made a pact with Garuda. They said, "My dear Garuda, you always kill more than you can eat. Why don't we do it like this, that one time in each month, we will arrange for a feast for you, including snakes. Then you don't always come and kill, more than you can eat, or more than you need. In this way we have our peace. You know, by some process, you know, throwing the coin, I don't know what the snakes did, but at some process they found out who that victim would be. And this was arranged. So this Kalia, the king of the snake, went like measly, measly, measly. He is getting this big meal for free. Why don't I eat it instead of him? So then when the snakes had arranged the feast, Kalia would come and eat all of it. Kalia had many, many heads. Even today in India, I think 5 years ago, I personally saw a snake which was from here to the end of the bedroom. And it had 5 different heads. It was in Mayapur, and Jayapataka Maharaj took a gun and fired it, and it fled away. They live in the Ganga. So Kalia was a very monstrous, like a, you can see, a being from another reality, a strange Loch Ness, you know, being like that. You will be surprised. Just recently, I saw pictures from dinosaurs which still exist on the planet in some hidden parts of Africa. There are many strange things which modern science wants to hide, you know, so that we, the people who are caught up in the manufactured reality of the scientific glupost, that we don't think that there's something beyond this so-called reality. So anyways, Garuda one day found out that Kalia was would always come and take all the offerings, and he began to attack Kalia. There was a huge fight, and Garuda threw with his powerful wings the snake into the ocean. It was a terrible fight, so that Kalia was forced to leave the island and take shelter in the Yamuna in Vrindavan. There was a reason why Kalia took shelter in the Yamuna, because once it happened that Garuda got cursed, he could not enter the Yamuna. This is an interesting story also. It's a story in a story. It was that a yogi, a mystic yogi, was meditating at one particular time underneath the water in the Yamuna. And Garuda, the king of birds, was hunting there. He was coming down and taking fish from the water. So he came and took the fishes, which used to be the friends with Sobari, with the yogi. Sobari the yogi. And when these fishes were killed before the eyes of the yogi, he got very angry, and he spoke a curse. If Garuda again comes and fishes in the Yamuna, that will be the end of his life. So Kalia had heard about it, and therefore went into that part of the world in order to be safe from Garuda, who could not come there. And he built, so to say, a regime of terror. It is described that this snake was so poisonous, almost like that the Yamuna almost became like the Donav. Even more like the Donav. 100 bow length from the beach into the countryside. You know, it was like 200 meters. Nothing could grow any longer. And when the fog, which was over the Yamuna, would be spread by the winds and touch grasses or trees which were still living, these plants would immediately die. It was so poisonous. Just the air, the fog over the Yamuna. If there were birds flying over the Yamuna, and inhale that, they would fall into the Yamuna and immediately die. It was so poisonous. So once the friends of Krishna began, played at the side of the Yamuna, and they felt like drinking a little water. And when they drank that water, they immediately died. They were lying on the beach of the Yamuna. So Krishna, who's the life of all this that lives, saw his friends lying dead on the beach. He looked at them with his life-giving eyes, so that they immediately rose back to their feet and went. They lived. It is described that Krishna, at the beginning of creation, just looks at the matter. He just looks at it. And by his glance alone, the souls are entering into the material universe. This is how powerful Krishna's eyes are. Just may I know, because some of you look so umrang, are you all hearing the translation? Yes? The translation, huh? Okay. Loud enough? Good enough? Good. So, this is how powerful Krishna's glance is, and this is how he brought back his friends to Jivot, to life. Sorry. But then, he wanted to take care of the problem. He went onto the only tree which was left in this area. All the other trees had just fallen over. They were dead. He just bound his dhoti together and then jumped into the water. And it was not just a small river. The Yamuna at that time, at that place, had built a lake, like the lake of Subhoticha. You know, it's very wide, very big. But it is still described, although this was such a vast expanse of water, when Krishna entered into it, Krishna, who is the power who lets the planet float, this vast mass of water began to shake, flowed over the beach. Although Krishna was very small in proportion to the large area, it still had a large, had a heavy effect. And Kaliya felt the effect. Who has dared to come into my kingdom of poison? He came up. There he saw
Krishna swimming like a young elephant. And immediately, without even asking a question, attacked Krishna to bite him with his poisonous fangs. Krishna, however, whom even the great mystic yogis cannot reach when they travel with the speed of mind, not light, mind, through the universe, Krishna was swimming around the terrible snake who had 1,000 heads. It was really a monster. Krishna was swimming, and the snake was going shh, like the Olympic race, you know. It must have been wonderful. Finally, the snake felt Umarang, so tired. At that time, Krishna just took one of the heads of the snake, bent it down, it jumped on top, and began to dance. So while the snake was trying with its many heads to attack and finally get Krishna, Krishna just jumped from head to head and made a dance out of it, dancing on the heads of the serpent. It's a song of Srila Harikesh Maharaj. So Krishna danced on it. Now it became a whole Narodna festival. Folk music, but with the difference that higher beings became involved. The devatas from the higher heavenly planets, the areas, the higher up areas of this universe, came to play drums and devatas played flute music, Veena music, and Krishna made a wonderful dancing festival. Unseen to the eyes of the ordinary onlookers, he invited all his devotees, the gopis, to dance along with him on the heads of the serpent. Finally, broke the anger of this terrible monster. The Kaliya serpent finally understood that the one who is dancing on my heads is no one else than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in utter humility, surrendered himself to the lotus feet of the Lord. This is one of the very, very amazing pastimes of Krishna. Krishna's pastimes, however, can be also seen by a person who is not yet able to enter the spiritual dimension of Krishna Lila. This whole world, which we see present before our eyes, is the manifestation of only one of Krishna's wonderful energies. That's a pastime of the Lord. It is described that he manifests this world almost like a person who goes underneath the water. See, when a man enters underneath the water and he makes breathes, so much bubbles of air become manifested. Much the same way, from the breathing of the Lord, this whole universe has become manifested. And within that whole universe, we enter
because the Lord glances over this universe. I mean, isn't this wonderful? All our concepts are lying in shambles, and, you know, in, like glass. You go like, if you go this glass, like in the same way, our concepts of reality break when we hear about the transcendental potency of the many different energies of the Supreme Lord. Modern man has become so bound up with a very narrow-minded and limited understanding of reality that he is a total prisoner of illusion. When we begin to come to Krishna consciousness and we hear about Krishna's energies and his potencies, we are very much amazed. How can this be possible? How does this fit in with the observable reality, the world which is defined by modern science? However, if you make more advancement in Krishna consciousness, you understand that behind this so-called reality, the material reality, is a plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you become interested to understand that plan for you. For you as an individual. Modern man may know for a certain extent about how this world functions, but he never knows, or he never can know, why it functions like this. I want to give you a little insight into this interesting philosophical discussion. If I would ask you, why did you come this evening to the temple? Yes? And you would say, you would answer back, well, I came with my bicycle. Or you would say, I came with the bus. Then this would not be the correct answer for this question. The answer, I came with my bicycle over the bus, would be an answer to the question, how did you come to the temple, but not why. Do you follow? Now, if I would say, why did you come here this evening? No. How did you get here this evening? And you would say, Marco would say, well, I heard Sachinandan Swami is coming, my old friend, who is always shocking me every lecture. I wanted to see him and get shocked again. Then, you know, this would not be the correct answer to how question. You would have to say, well, I came with my car or my moped or with the airplane, you know, with the helicopter. So if I'm asking the question, how did you come here, I'm expecting an answer which explains a mechanical process. But if we talk about the why dimension, we talk of the world of meaning, of sense, and of feelings. So I can ask if the modern science can, to some extent, small, answer the question, How does this world function? They talk about physical process, laws of nature, the laws of physics, or the laws of chemics, and so on. But as soon as we ask the question, why is the world the way it is? They can't give an answer. They will say, because of atoms. But why atoms? And why are they governed and working in this way? They can't say. The answer to the question why does not lie in the books of the universities. This answer to the why dimension does not lie in the heads of the modern men. The answer to the why question lies in the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is given to us. So once you understand, once you ask this question, why am I here? Why is the world the way it is? Why am I suffering? You have to come to spiritual knowledge. You have to get the answers here. The reason why we are here, the reason why each one of us is involved, is in his own little drama of life, is to get purified from a mistake. The mistake is that we want to look for pleasure somewhere else except at the lotus feet of Krishna. And I want to tell you a traditional story as an illustration and then continue the point. Once there was a businessman. He traveled to a far distant town. Now a thief, a Lobov came, and he saw that this businessman has a lot of money. But he pretended to be a pious person and said, "May I come with you?" "Yes," said the businessman. So the whole day he looked, where does this businessman keep his money? Then the night came and they went and slept in some place. So the Lobov, in the night, began to look for the money everywhere. He looked in the pockets of the merchant. He looked in the luggage. He looked and looked and looked and couldn't find the money. Then when it was becoming morning, Lobots saw no other chance, but he came very close to the ear of the businessman and said, "Oh, I forgot where I put my money." He spoke as if he would be the businessman. And he expected an answer from the businessman. "Oh, you put it here and you put it there. Why have you forgotten?" You follow? It's like, you know, if I go to Marco in the morning, "Marco, where did I put the car key?" And then in your sleep, Marco, you would say, "Well, it's in the kitchen, on the table." So this was a trick of the Lobots. In the Lobot, or something Lobot. But the merchant was awake, and he said, "You fool! I put my money under your pillow. And he took his hand and he took the money from underneath the pillow of the Lobots. So the Lobots had looked everywhere for the money, all throughout the room and through the cloth of the merchant, except for underneath the pillow. There he had not his own pillow, because he thought, well, I have not the money. So this is our situation in this material world. We look everywhere for our happiness, at every conceivable place, but not inside, not with us. Even when a person finally comes to spiritual life, he will look everywhere. Oh, I must make this arrangement. Oh, I must go to Germany, to the farm. The Rat is here, the only lesson which we have to learn in this life is that Krishna consciousness is really within us. We have to love Krishna. We have to think of Krishna. We have to remember Krishna. Once we do that, once we take to this internal path, we will be satisfied wherever we go. Krishna alone is sufficient to satisfy all the desires of this world which we may awaken. This is what we have to learn. At the present moment, our intelligence is what is called Bahushaka. It is diverted on many, many subjects. We think of friends, we think of the rent maybe, of our musical preference, the music which we like. We think of in the temple, of the program. We think of so many things. But we really have to learn to focus or put our attention on one thing only. See, then that is Krishna. See, our mind can be compared to a record. You know, in a record there are many different impressions pressed by the record company. And according to these impressions, the music goes in the record. So also in our minds, you can compare it with the record. There are many impressions of which we have made during our lives. Impressions from the childhood, but also impressions which come from many lifetimes before, which go back into the distant past. And these impressions are here. They are in the consciousness. They are called sanskaras in Sanskrit. And our mind is, so to say, like the head of the there's the record arm. I don't know, Srinivas. I think you know what I mean, huh? The Plattenspielerkopf, one says in Germany. The head of this, you know, it goes click and then click and then la 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 la. You know, this thing. So our is like this, and it goes to the impressions which are there in the consciousness, and it plays it. The same song. Since many lifetimes, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. I'm frustrated, I'm frustrated, I'm frustrated. accepting and rejecting. And many, many impressions which we have made. Whoever sits here and outside the temple, All the people of Beograd play the same song in their which is impressions of material life. There are sex impressions. There are impressions now made by the political situation. There are impressions from childhood. And your conditioned personality, I'm saying conditioned personality. How would you say conditioned personality, Srinivas? Slowness and then personality? Osoba, yes, Osoba. It's a collection of different impressions, not only made in one lifetime, but in other lifetimes. That's why it is so hard to change ourselves. And for someone who is a spiritual master, it's sometimes very hard to change his disciples. Because these impressions, sanskaras in Sanskrit, are so deep. Sometimes these impressions come up in the mind, and we get shocked. This was there. The example which is given is the pond. When you have a pond, and you put a stick inside the pond, the air which is captured underneath the leaves becomes released. And it smells like the death of your grandmama. Very very intensive smell. This is how sometimes devotees in Krishna consciousness become shocked what thoughts come out in their minds. Have you seen this also when you chant Hare Krishna? Sometimes you see things which are not even within the four rules and regulations. Huh? Do you know what I'm speaking about? No? Yes? Why? Why did I think this? Well, it comes from an impression which was made in a previous life. And the way you react is just responding. You are just responding according to your reactions. I want to give you a little very interesting example. Once there was a young man from Beograd who drove on a country road to Zrenjanin. So he was coming around a curve. What is the meaning of curve, please? Grivina, yes, a grivina, the land. And there was a car coming the opposite side, but it drove so fast that it came onto the lane of the young man. It just came out of the lane. You understand, huh? And the young man, the car was coming closer and closer. Then in the last minute, it just came back on its lane and went. And then through the open window, a young lady shouted, "You pig!" Pig? Swine. Sweeney, yes, you're Sweeney. So the young man thought, what? I'm not at fault. She made the mistake. Yes, you follow? And I'm sorry, the young lady screamed, Sweeney, not you, Sweeney, but Sweeney. And he thought, well, I'm innocent. Why does she have to use such vulgar language, such obscene language? And he drove into a pig. He drove into a swine. You don't understand. I have to explain. Measly, measly. You will understand. No? See, when he came and passed the lady, he thought the lady had called him a swine. But the lady wanted to warn him, careful, if you drive on, you will drive, there are swines over the road. Now you understand. Good. We all are like this. We are conditioned in a certain way, and we perceive the reality according to this conditioning. We all are like this. We see things in a certain light and we do not see other things. For instance, we don't see that we are an eternal soul. We actually think we are the body. We don't see Krishna within the heart. We see only our jealousy within the heart. We can't see it because we are conditioned, like the young man who saw this lady, who thought this lady was just, you know, like young ladies are, little temperamental and arrogant. You know, thought like that. So this is an example of the conditioning we are all in. We are conditioned by our education. We are conditioned by our experiences. We are conditioned by our senses, by our mind, so that the picture which we have when we look at this material world is a totally narrow-minded, distorted, materialistic vision of reality. To give you a very simple example, I gave that long, long ago in Beograd, but I want to use it again. Imagine a little ant. What is the meaning of the ant? Meral. Would come on my arm. Yes? This ant would think, oh, I'm in a jungle, because there's a little sweat, and then there are here the hairs. He would think these are trees. And he would not have any language to communicate with me, because his senses and his understanding would give him only a very limited picture of, you know, of the reality he is walking through. In the same way, all of us here and beyond the walls of the house only see, according to our senses and our understanding, a very limited picture of reality. We are all like Merauds. Merauds, yes. Too difficult. Merav. Merav, yes. We are all like Meravs, who walk on the cosmic body of God. And because we are mravs, therefore we can't understand God. We cannot understand why this whole world is there. We have a little understanding of the how it functions, but only the ant understanding. It's like the ant when he thinks, you know, about, you know, his new territory. Territory. He thinks it's a jungle, Amazonas or something, and Amazonas. You know, then when the water comes from the arm, oh, that's the, that's a Donau, you know, the ant Donau. So this is how we are all limited. And since time. About the transcendental activities
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you see the world from the why perspective, you know, why is it here? Well, because Krishna has made it like this for a reason, to teach us a lesson. Then we will come out of it. A Krishna conscious devotee has Krishna conscious impressions, and when he looks at this world, he sees Krishna behind everything. This is because there is a new song playing inside. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Yes, ich meinte. This is a new song. If we learn to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the proper way, new impressions will come in our mind. And then, when we look at the world, we will see Krishna. Yes? Impressions. You will have to create new impressions. And for this, there is a process of Krishna consciousness. This process of Krishna consciousness has five things which we should do. The first and most important thing is to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with full intention. If you do not give your full attention to the chanting of the holy name, the impressions which will come by the chanting are not really deep. And you will always, you know, be forced to go in your old impressions. You have to learn to concentrate your umma, your restless wild horses, the mind. You can concentrate your mind if before chanting you meditate or think about the fact that now you want to associate with Krishna, which will create a new impression in you. Then you have to get new informations of this world. You have to learn just like a new baby. That's why we read every day and hear every day about Krishna. Then you have to associate with devotees. Sometimes the association with devotees is not always easy, also for our guests. Sometimes you will be challenged to think in a new way. Sometimes it is hard. I remember when I was first visiting the temple, the devotees asked me for my philosophy in life. And I served them the unholy soup of my speculations. It was a mixture of Nietzsche, and of Reich, and Erich Fromm. You know, different. Speculazione. And then when I had ended to give a glowing report of my philosophical convictions, they said, but you are not a pig. You must think in a different way. Now, what would you think? If some, you know, you have really worked to present something nice, and someone says, but this is the philosophy of an animal, what you have to say. I felt so, my large ego was so disturbed. I said, I will never ever go to these people again. They are uncivilized and totally totally. I mean, from a different planet or something. So, it was very hard in the beginning, because all my understandings, all the impressions which the material energy, the material world had left in my consciousness, had to be readdressed, reformulated, and so on. But this challenge in the association of devotees is very nice. Every one of you, please stay for some time, if it is possible, in the temple, come regularly, even if you feel, well, how do they explain this, and how is this, and does this make sense? Come, just stay, have association with Vaishnava. And in this way, there are different processes of Krishna consciousness. By following them sincerely, with sincere surrender, you will be able to make something out of your life. Ultimately, the person who is immersed in full Krishna consciousness will get free from all material influences which are constantly working on him. He will become a liberated soul, and it will not be necessary for him to take on a new material body. Yes, when he leaves his material body in full Krishna consciousness, without a doubt, more fast than the mind, he will rejoin the eternal loving pastimes of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world called Goloka Vrindavan. So we want to ask all of our guests and our devotees to make this life an experiment with this. You only have one heart to give away. You only have this life. You have a little energy left. You who are prisoners in the prison of birth and death, why don't we become a little bit serious? It is not too difficult. It just requires that we get new impressions in our life, new sanskaras, and we will be able to communicate, even in this life, with the Supreme Blissful Personality of Godhead. So, Hare Krishna, Vala Lepa. I want to invite all of our guests. We will have, I think, 10 days I can stay with you before I will go to Mayapur and Vrindavan in India. Please all come as often as possible. You will be able to look at the plan. There is a plan, you know, we are in Smritska, Svenska, Mritovitska, and we are in Skopje, and so on and so forth. But we are also here in Beograd for a few evenings or mornings. I would be very, very happy if you could come. I wanted to talk on a subject which I feel is very important for you, for all of us. Mana Shiksha is called. That is how to make the mind a friend. This is the essence about yoga. I think you all recognize, knowing Krishna consciousness for a while, that if this person up here can just cooperate, then it's no problem. So we will talk, give a lecture series. Last time we had a Shikshastakam, 8 powerful instructions. This time we will go to Mana Shiksha. Tomorrow morning will be a very, very essential subject. You will look at your life in a new way after that. Please try to come if possible. If not, you can obtain, of course, tapes and all. But I wanted to also say something personal. This evening I'm
I'm sorry to say, but I'm extremely tired because the last weeks were just... Poland, London, Berlin, South Germany. Just very intense. But I was always looking forward to come back to Beograd because I know that we have many friends and very nice devotees here who are very interested in Krishna conscious philosophy. And I'm very happy to now be able to spend a few days with all of you here. So please let us have association on the spiritual level where we go deeply into some essential questions in life and try to benefit from that. Hare Krishna. I'm also very happy to see the little girl. What is your name, please? Huh? Oliveira, yes. I know, yes. I remember. Dobrodošli. Do you have any questions regarding all of this or any other questions? There's so many of you I know. Dora is there. Hare Krishna. And David, isn't it? David, and there was our enthusiastic Bhakta. Where is he? Oh, it looks like... Here! What is your name? Woman, yes. And the brother of Anandini, what is your name? Atze. True Atze. Surashan has become a little wiser. Male, male. And Zale has not fallen asleep today. Congratulations. So, do you have any questions regarding all these things? No? Do you understand this point with the impressions? I just, in Croatia, I met a person, his name is Bojo. You know, he had a very, very heavy experience. He was living in his house, and then one evening, about 20 Chetniks came and they just killed the family, the whole family, before his eyes in a very, very bad way. I don't want to go into the detail. And then they threw him into the prison and then the Croatians were freeing him from the prison. And then they made him a killer. And then he killed so many poor Serbians. Because, he had this feeling of revenge. You know, like this. And now he got the Bhagavad Gita and he understood, well, this makes bad karma to kill people. Not good. And now he tries to live in the temple. But every night, he screams because he sees the scene of his mother and his father killed with knives before his eyes. He sees that. It's a deep impression and he cannot get it out. The mind, the record plays again. Death, killing, death, killing, death, killing. Father, mother, kill, death. You know, it goes all the time. Same song. This is what is material life. This is a very extreme example. But this is what goes on with every one of us. All the impressions are here. Every little thing. We cannot think free
and we cannot act free, and we cannot come out of the loss of material life as long as we do not get different impressions, Krishna conscious impressions. It's a very intense example, isn't it? Very heavy example. So if you want to live a new life, a spiritual life, you must make new impressions. Not enough to just, you know, do something from the external. You must go deep. So that's why we talk tomorrow about making the mind the friend, to get new impressions there. Yes. Your name is Srivas. Srivas and then Srinivas. Yes. Yes. Well, you can get new impressions. And then you will think in these new impressions. Just see, the example has been given of a river. The Donav flows in the riverbed, which is there since a very long time. Now, if you want the Donav, isn't it, to fly in a different way, you must create a new riverbed. Then it will fly there, it will go there. So if you also want your mind to go in a different way, you must think of new, you must create new impressions. I'm now in following the path of Krishna consciousness since 22 22 years or so. And I'm full with Krishna conscious impressions. Some of them are very, very deep. When I met Srila Prabhupada, so deep. What he said to me, so deep. For instance, one, I tell you what made a big impression in my mind. I was a translator, translating Srila Prabhupada's books from English into German. And Srila Prabhupada came to our temple for 2 weeks. He stayed there. So, the evening when Prabhupada came, he talked about a real servant, what it means. And he talked about it by giving an example what it does not mean. He talked about the servants in Calcutta who go, you know, during the day into one park, it's called the Dalhousie Park, and sleep for the whole day. Then in the evening when they report back to their master, and the master asks them, what did you do today? Much. I was the whole day working. Give me money. So he said, we cannot cheat Krishna like this. That in an unseen part of our life, where we think no one looks at it, we just sleep somewhere or do something not Krishna consciousness. So he had spoken about this in the afternoon when he arrived. He said, I was never like this. I always gave my best. And then then the next morning he went on an inspection tour through the whole temple. He wanted to see each room. So I had just eaten breakfast and I needed to just
lay down on the left side for just 3 minutes or 4 minutes. So I just lied down behind my table where I was translating. It was a small, you know, I was sitting on the ground usually, and the table was like this high. So I just, you know, sitting before the table, just went like whoop, for 2 or 3 minutes, you know, just to digest a little. At that moment, the door went open. And Prabhupada came in like a swan. And he looked in the room, and I said, I'm dead. I'm not here. I do not even exist. I felt just so bad, you can't imagine, because he had talked about it the day before. I think you can imagine, you know, I wanted to show myself from the best side possible, you know. But there I was, lying like a dead stone. And I just felt like, oh no, Prabhupada only, you know, I've seen him only 2 times or 3 times in the life, and he must think I'm a total useless disciple. Maybe I am. Oh, I will never become Krishna consciousness, and I became on the mental niveau, you know. And I was lying there all the time. And I wanted to decide if I would go up, you know, or just pretend I was dead. And then after an eternity, I just took the courage and sat up and just felt so miserable. And Prabhupada looked at me with a big smile, you know. And he asked different questions about translation, and he knew in his heart, you know, that I tried my best, you know, to serve him, but it made such a deep impression. Then now I know, Krishna sees everything. The spiritual master sees everything. It's there. It's a deep impression. I often think about it because it's so deep. I think about my times when I went to Vrindavan, to India. I think about a time when I was operated, and during the operation left the body and saw the body from a different perspective, lying there with a big open wound here in the stomach. I remember that I'm different from the body. There are many impressions in Krishna consciousness. And that's why a devotee also is like a different person. He has a different atmosphere around him, isn't it? Because he thinks in a different way. So Shivas, you have to make new impressions. And deep, give your best, try to give 100%, then these impressions will come. For instance, during marathon time, isn't it? You just go so deep. Then you met him, then this person took so many books, and so the deep thing has to come. That's also very important for our friends. If you always stay together with materialists, you will have impressions from them. See in the night what you sometimes dream. That's all. The moon is playing on the record of the impressions which you made during the day. It's a science. Isn't it this for our psychological lady? I think it makes sense, isn't it? Also from the viewpoint of just observing the mind. And we will go to our next body according to all these impressions, which will all come also up at the time of death. There will be a replay, a review of all you have seen and done. Better come more often to the temple, see more of the deities, some better impressions.
So, it's becoming a little late, but please do come again. Kuala Lumpur and Hare Krishna.
Jai Maharaj ki.
Jai.